Hi, everybody. It's Jim Bakei. The podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust. So the world is turning, you know, one of the things I was thinking about this week, and I really feel like I've been on information overload, and I've had trouble sort of sorting out, kind of having a picture for what's coming up. The weather has been a massive dislocator to the vaccination process. As most of you, all of you know, if you're a listener, I'm in the States, and in Florida, I did get vaccinated, but my countrymen in Canada now, I'm being told, are probably not till September, October. There's been a delay here. Good news, I got my in-laws vaccinated last week, but the rest of my family isn't. And so there's dislocation going on all over the place and around the vaccines and everything else. And then I was listening to something, people talking about how people are moving to that. Staycations used to be something that people talked about, you know, kind of like, because I didn't have enough money and I've only got a couple of days, and instead of going to Hawaii or going to Florida or going to Arizona or going to Europe, you know, we're just having a staycation. And so they were kind of like, we're just having a staycation. But staycations are now sort of part of the norm. I played golf last week with a guy, and he lives in Miami. He was going to take a staycation about an hour and a half away, the same way as people take a staycation in Toronto to go up to Muskoka or other parts of Ontario. And, you know, it sort of led me to think, you know, here's all these new terms that are now starting to become part of a regular part of our lexicon of things that we're talking about. And, you know, staycation is one of those things. And we have to adjust our minds and our mentality to find ways to give us a little refresher, to find ways to give us a break, to find ways to go somewhere and recharge. And even if it's drive to a national park or, you know, go out into the woods or go somewhere, get up and get out and do something different. One of my longtime listeners and one of my favorite listeners is my cousin-in-law, Allison from Chicago. And she fled from the snow and she's down here in Florida, and her husband and her children are back at home. And she's escaped, as she said, you know, for a few days, don't knowing how long it is, but the bleakness and the winter and the cold is just weighing so heavily on people that you need to think about it. You need to think about, what is it I can do to just give me a little refresher? I don't care if it's 24 hours, 36 hours, 72 hours, whatever it is, just take a break. Because I think, you know, the downside of being at home all the time and being with everybody is that we're just not used to that much time with each other within our own family. And I think it's probably really, really good for everyone. Another term that just came up, and Katie and I were talking. Katie is the proud homeowner of a new house. And having missed a couple previously, she said she had been bully offered out of them. And so this time they saw this thing and they did their own bully offering and went to the front of the line and now are the proud owners. But there's another, you know, there's another whole new expression, a whole new way of thinking about real estate. And I think that this movement outside of the cities is just putting such pressure. Low mortgage rates, I mean, they're insane. It's almost, you'd almost be a fool if you didn't buy something compared to what you pay for rent. They're just ridiculous. And, you know, and I know people worry about things like, you know, the deficits and things like that. But one of my clients pointed out something to me the other day, which I thought was really, really interesting. In 2017, the U.S. debt was 35% of GDP. Today, it's 100% of the gross domestic production of the United States. Yet the interest paid on it is exactly the same. And the reason being is because we are in a negative interest rate environment and interest rates are so low that it's not increasing the debt. And if it's the same kind of thing for the government, then of course it has the same sort of impact to the people. That's why we're seeing this boom in housing, not in condos and things like that, but this boom in housing, people wanting a little more space. We're seeing the boom in lumber prices. And people are saying, well, you know, if I could pay this in a mortgage, why wouldn't I buy a house for this? And this sort of chasing is going on. And quite frankly, I don't know where it'll end because I cannot foresee a time in the not too distant future when the government will actually say, okay, we're not going to support the economy anymore. We're not going to do the stimulus. Because as I've talked about before, there is this dislocation. People that are doing well are doing really well. People that are doing poorly are doing really poorly. And so there's an exacerbation of that going on. It almost feels like you have your two legs being pulled in different directions. Sooner or later, something's got to give. And I'm not smart enough or knowledgeable enough to see it. But you even look at it in the stock market, you look at it in housing prices, you look at it in, I read an article in one of the Toronto newspapers that said they expect condo prices to fall because of this 15% vacancy tax and all those people that own places. So if you're a one-bedroom condo buyer, it's great for you. If you're a one-bedroom condo owner, it's terrible for you. And I've never seen a period of time where the winning and the losing is so dramatic. There has historically tended to be more sort of, you know, if things are good, things are good for everybody. And if things are bad, things are bad for everybody. And it's just a matter of relativeness, how much worse off someone is or how much better someone is. But this is a real sort of conundrum in the way it's sort of going. And then the other thing I was talking to Katie about today, you know, she was talking about having met one of her idols and mentors in podcasts. And I thought to myself, that word didn't even exist 10 years ago. That business didn't even exist 10 years ago. So it must be really difficult for educators to set a course on curriculums for the future to try to anticipate what people need in school. If it's difficult for them, it must be difficult for us to sort of, you know, I mean, Katie, you didn't grow up dreaming to be a podcast producer all of your life, did you?
It was a radio producer this whole time. And that's what I studied in school, was radio production. And then only once I left did it become podcasting.
Right. So the question then becomes, what are the skills? So the skills of what I studied for that I thought was going to be the job that I was going to probably be doing are the same skills that are applicable to the job that you're doing. And so how many of these new jobs are being created? How many of these new opportunities are being created? And how can you as an individual, and I'm coaching a few people right now through that, to stop thinking about themselves in a narrowly defined world of companies, right? Whether it's financial services, whether it's service-oriented, whether it's sales-oriented, start broadening your horizon at looking at job opportunities. Where is the future of this going? If it really is digitalization, if it really is AI, and if those things, as Fareed Zakaria said, are going to be the next industrial revolution, where are the areas that I can apply my skills? Who are the companies that, you know, need salespeople, need accountants, need lawyers, need whatever it is, right? And I know, in fact, I know I'm doing it as well, in that I am broadening my base of companies that I'm looking at, because I'm saying to myself, there's lots of companies need coaching. There's lots of companies that are entrepreneurial, lots of companies that are getting started, and they may be really good at their ideas, but they're not really experienced in how to build a company, how to hire the people, how to do all of those things. And since I'm not the subject matter expert on those, I should be able to help those people. So I'm trying to broaden my reach of thinking about the next group of companies that need my skills, almost agnostic to the products they sell or the markets they serve, more around the fundamental, helping them how to think about building a company. It's slow, I'll admit it, because people get stuck historically in this linear thinking that I've talked about before, where they say, well, you know, you don't know anything about this industry. And I always love telling a story. And if I've told it before, I want to apologize to my listeners. But I remember when I went and saw someone who owned a cannabis company, and he wanted to talk to me about doing recruiting in the cannabis industry. And I said, sure. I said, happy to talk. So we sat down at lunch. He says, well, how much cannabis industry expertise do you have at recruiting people in the industry? And I said, none. And he goes, oh. And I said, well, I said, nobody does. It's a brand new industry. The people running the cannabis companies don't have any experience in cannabis. They have experience at running companies. And they've run food companies, bio companies, they've run all kinds of companies. But nobody that runs, that started any of the cannabis companies has any expertise in cannabis. But they do have expertise. Their skills are in building an organization, building production, sales, all of those types of things. And so don't let people deter you from the idea that your target-rich environment is significantly greater than you think it is. You have the existing target-rich environment, which is the one that you know, but go out and explore. Who are those companies? You know, I always love the chart that shows you, you know, who are the top 10 companies in the Dow in 2020, and who were they in 2010, and who were they in, you know, and I'm sure at a point in time, Kodak was a great company to go and work for. Digital camera came in, goodbye. Kodak's gone, everybody's gone, right? And, you know, I mean, GM and all the US automakers at a point in time got wiped out by all the Japanese automakers, right? And the European cars, and now they've all come back. Look at Tesla. I mean, I remember taking my kids to see Arnold Schwarzenegger when he won the Man of the Year award at the Sheraton Center in Toronto, and he talked about funding Tesla, and he talked about an electric car. But that was, God, that had to be 20 years ago, almost 15, 20 years ago he was here. And it's finally coming. But guess what? There are going to be 50 electric car companies. And they're going to need all of the things that car companies need, sales, support, all kinds of things like that. So it's time to sort of look to the future, look at yourself and ask yourself, what are the skills that I have that could be applicable to other companies, other industries, right? You got to do a lot of research on this because it's not easy. And I find the same thing. I want to be coaching people that run companies in AI and digital. So everybody I talk to, I ask them, do you know anybody who runs a company like that? Do you know anybody who might need some help? Do you know anybody? Can you introduce me? Can you help me? Can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do this? Can you do that? And the same way as Katie and I, when I meet people and they talk to me on a podcast, I say, oh yeah, well, let me introduce you to Katie, right? And even if they haven't done a podcast before, I sort of do the introduction. And so think about your skills and think about asking people outside of your sort of immediate group about like what industries, what's next, right? And so, you know, the environmental industry, the, you know, electric car industry, you know, just keep going through them. You just got to read the newspapers. And my God, the innovation that's going on at the rate that it's going on is absolutely mind-boggling. For me, one of the biggest things that I think is going to be just as big as the others is vertical farming, growing fruits and vegetables inside a building, not having to ship them from California, just-in-time vegetables, just-in-time. They'll get picked yesterday. They'll be at Loblaws or any of the other stores tomorrow, and there won't be a week of staleness or anything else. Saving on that shipping time, which will hopefully reduce costs. The other big one, I think, is water. You know, this whole sort of, there's a whole industry around water, purification, making it better, cleaning, recycling, and all of these types of things. And all these companies need people. They need people to build the infrastructure of the company. So I encourage you all to think. I encourage you all to push your kids to think more broadly. And I've talked about how my kids are all doing different things in different spaces than would have ever been anything that I thought about. It's hard to do. And I get that it's hard to do because we do get on a track, but take a little time out of your week. Take a couple of moments for you and just test out, sort of learn a little bit about different industries. As I've told you, I love to read. I've got a whole bunch of publications. I'm not a book reader, kids. You know that. So I'm not being a liar because the kids always say, oh, Dad, you don't really read. I don't read books in that sense, which is kind of ironic because I've written two. But anyways, but I love reading. You know, I have this thing that I get from this company called Visual Capitalist. It's outstanding. Every day it comes in, it forces me to think about things, but it's stimulating it and it's intellectually satisfies my curiosity. And it generates a whole stream of thought for me that I would never, ever have. Every time one of these things occurs, it leads me to somewhere else. Every day, that I get a further step down this journey, which I have absolutely no idea where it ends. A knighthood or the Order of Canada would be fine if anybody wants to throw them my way. But I have no idea where it ends. I have no idea how far it gets. So I never get disappointed, which is kind of interesting, because you can only get disappointed if you have an expectation of how far you're going to go and you actually don't get there. You go, oh my God, I didn't climb the top of Kilimanjaro or Mount Everest. I only got to the 80 feet below or something like that. But it's actually kind of fun to not know where the end is and to just sort of keep pushing, trust the instinct, push harder, be bolder, ask for more, demand to be treated better. You know, all of those things. It's all about you, right? It's be you. You'll never know until you try, and you'll never know until if you don't ask. And don't prejudge or prethink that, oh God, I don't know if I ask for that. My experience in coaching people in these last 3 years in particular in the corporate world and all kinds of different worlds is the harder I push people and the more I push it back in their faces, the more they respond. And I've had a couple of great examples this week, which I don't need to go into, but someone who I pushed hard came right back at me. And I said to her, I said, you know, I'm really proud of you. I said, normally you would have skulked away, been miserable and brooded for about 3 weeks, but you're not doing that. I pissed you off and you told me right away that I pissed you off. And I said to you, you're right to feel pissed off. It's your feelings. You should feel pissed off, but you should see how you responded to being pissed off, because before when we worked together, that's not how you responded. She and I had this chat and it was like sort of almost a little moment of epiphany in that, you know, you're right. Right. And so I encourage you all, whether you're my Monday morning walkers, listen to me in the middle of the week, think about those little hurdles that you're just like, I don't know if I can say that. I don't know if I can do that. Fuck it. Just do it. Just do it. Push yourself. Ask. There's no downside. You will all be better off for it. You may not get the answer you want, but you'll get the answer that you need. I'm Jim Bakiai. Podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust.